Good evening. That was sort of weak. Let's try that again. Good evening. Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started. I know we're running a few minutes late, but thank you for being here. I'm still having to get used to this time change. I just wish that our politicians would get smart and just leave things the way. Don't change them. Just leave them. Whichever way. But we are going to pick up and we're going to keep going in chapter 2 of Daniel. So I'm going to ask if Terry wouldn't mind, would you mind praying and opening us up tonight in Bible study? Thank you. Okay, last week we ended with verse 13. We're going to pick up with verse 14, and we're going to go to verse 23. But who can tell me what was going on when we ended last week? What was happening? Whose dream? Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and what was he wanting done? Why did he want them to do that? Why did he want them to tell him what he dreamed and then what it meant? If they were able to tell him what he dreamed, then he knew that they'd be telling him the truth about what the dream meant. So he showed a lot of wisdom right there. And plus the fact that he was probably, because he was a new king, remember this was like in the third or fourth year of his reign that this happened, and he inherited all these wise men from his dad. And so he wanted to bring in his own people that he trusted and stuff, and he didn't really trust the ones that he had. So this could have been an excuse for him to get rid of them too. So let's pick up. We actually ended with the fact that they were looking for Daniel. Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. They were looking for them. There's a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's who they were looking for because they were going to put them to death because they were four of the wise men of Babylon. So let's pick up in verse 14 through 16. It says, "Then Daniel replied with discretion and discernment to Arioch, the captain of the king's bodyguard, who had gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He said to Arioch, the king's commander, 'For what reason is the decree from the king so urgent?' Then Arioch informed Daniel about the matter. So Daniel went in and requested of the king that he would give him time in order that he might declare the interpretation to the king." Couple of things here. The first is that Daniel was respectful, he was discreet, and he showed discernment in dealing with this captain of the guard, the one that was coming to kill him. He did not panic. This is actually not the first life and death thing that Daniel has had to deal with since he's been in Babylon, is it? Remember when he didn't want to eat the king's food. Rejecting the king's food was punishable by death. You know, if the king wanted to do something and you'd said, "No, I don't want that," that was punishable by death. And so here he is, he's being faced with death already again. He doesn't panic. He stays calm. He shows discernment, discretion, and all he does is ask them, "Why is this so urgent? Why? What's going on?" It also shows that Daniel was not part of this group that Nebuchadnezzar had been talking to in the first place. He was not talking to them. So, and then he goes and asks the king, he requests of the king to give him time. This was not a stall tactic. This was not like what they were trying to do before and stalling time. Daniel knew that he was going to have time because he had a plan. He knew who he was going to go talk to get the answer. And he knew it was going to take time for him to do it correctly, and it was going to take time for him to listen and wait and be patient. So that's what he did. Okay. Now look at verses 17 through 18. Then Daniel went to his house and informed his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, about the matter, so that they might request compassion from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his friends would not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men. Daniel knew that this situation, he was in a situation that only God could take care of. We all have those situations in our lives. We all have these situations that in our own power, we cannot do anything about it. And we have to know that we can always turn to God because God can take care of everything. You know, I talk about VeggieTales a lot. And you know, Rack Shack and Benny is one of my favorite stories. But one of my favorite songs is God is Bigger Than the Boogeyman. Because God is. And here, it shows the importance of having godly friends. Because the first thing Daniel did after he went and requested time from the king, he immediately went and got his three friends so that they all could pray together. I'm going to tell you, listen, Tuesday I was struggling. Yesterday morning I was struggling. So I picked up my phone and I texted four people. And I said, I am really struggling today. Can you guys please pray for me? And every single one of them replied yes and immediately started praying. And I could feel them praying for me. Now listen, I'm not bragging on me for asking prayer. I'm bragging on them for being people that are willing to drop everything to pray for someone else. Not knowing exactly what the reason, not knowing what was going on, but they were willing to pray. That's the importance. Right here we see this in the fact that Daniel immediately went to these three other men and they all got down on their knees before God and they prayed. And what did they pray for? They prayed for God's compassion. They prayed earnestly, asking God to show them compassion and to give them the answer in this mystery. Daniel knew that he could not figure this out on his own. I love this. Strauss says this. He says, the battle was won when Daniel prayed with his friends. Praying friends are a blessing. And in prayer meetings such as this, history has been made. The battle was won the minute they came together and prayed to God. And I think it's interesting because even in the face of this crisis, Daniel and his friends showed confidence because they were confident. And we see this later with Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, both in the fiery furnace and in the lion's den. They showed confidence in believing that God could do it. They had no doubt in their mind that God could not do it. They knew God would do it and that He could. Look at verse 19. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. What do we call night visions? Dreams. Do dreams happen when you're awake? Do dreams happen when you're barely asleep and tossing and turning? Mm-mm. Dreams happen when you're in a deep sleep. Now, I want you to think about this. Daniel is literally facing a life and death thing. He has prayed to God, fully expecting Him to answer the prayer. And then what does he do? Think about it. He went to bed and slept well enough that he had a dream from the Lord. You think Daniel had a peace about God answering and taking care of this situation for him? Yeah, he did. Now I'm going to challenge myself and challenge the rest of you. When we're dealing with a major crisis in our lives, can we say that we have that much faith and confidence that God's going to take care of us, that we're able to lay our head on the pillow and sleep through the night? There's been many a time I've had sleepless night where I tossed and turned thinking and worrying about things. I hate to say it, but it's the truth. We need to take this example from Daniel and have full confidence that God's going to do exactly what He tells us He's going to do. Is there anywhere in the Bible that God says, I'm not going to take care of you? Is there? I don't think so. If there is, I haven't seen it. In fact, I've seen the very opposite, where God's saying, trust me. I will take care of you. I will be there. I will provide you with everything that you need. He even tells Paul, when Paul keeps praying to get rid of this thorn in the flesh, what does he say? My grace is sufficient for you. And we have to have that faith and that courage to accept that God's going to do exactly what He says He's going to do. And sleep. Rest. And here's the thing. This first part. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel. This was not religion. And what is meant by that is this, is that religion is all about what you do. You guys realize that? What do we say? Somebody becomes a Christian and their friends say, oh, they found religion. No. I didn't find Jesus. I didn't. And most of us have the same story. Most of us weren't even looking for Him. But Jesus found me. I was the one that was lost, not Him. Religion says it's all about what we do. Right here, it was a revelation. Daniel had the relationship. He knew who to go talk to. He knew there was not a single thing that he could do to fix this. And God revealed it to him. It's not a religion. And we've got to understand that fact, that Christianity is not a religion. People call it a religion and they say, we got religion. No, it's not. It is so much more than that. Christianity is a revelation of Jesus Christ to us and us having that relationship with Him. And it's a continual revelation through the power of the Holy Spirit to us in our Christian lives and our Christian walk as we mature and as the Holy Spirit keeps molding and shaping us into His image. It is a constant revelation. And I will tell you this, that you will never know so much, no matter how much you study, no matter how much you do, you will never get to a point in your Christian walk where God doesn't reveal new things about Himself to you. You will know, it amazes me how many times you can read one Bible verse and every time you read it, something new pops out. The same words, the same passage, but God constantly reveals more and more to you through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what Christianity is. Here it says that this night vision, we don't know exactly what this is. It may have been a dream or a supernatural vision that happened at night. Don't know. If you remember in Acts, and Peter is praying, he has a vision while he's praying. But Joseph is met in a dream. You know, when he's thinking about what to do with Mary when he finds out she's pregnant, and he has a dream. He's also, after Jesus is born, he has a dream to warning them to move, to get out, because Herod was coming after him. And he escaped to Egypt being warned in a dream. So, but I honestly think that it is a dream. It's a supernatural dream. This is not something that happens every day. But the fact that he was asleep and at peace when he received this. Okay, now look at what, after he receives it, what does it say? Does Daniel rush to the king and tell him, I've got the answer, I've got the answer? Is that what he does? What does it say he does? Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Look at verses 22 or 20 through 23. It says, Daniel said, let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to Him. It is He who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. It is He who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with Him. To You, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for You have given me wisdom and power. Even now You have made known to me what we requested of You, for You have made known to us the king's matter. Look at this. He changes, He removes, He knows. Daniel praised God for His power and might. Daniel thought of how God is in command of all things and how God is mightier than the mighty kings like Nebuchadnezzar. You know, when you're dealing with a king that is known for his cruelty, like Nebuchadnezzar was, it is just another source of peace to know that your God is bigger than that. You know? You guys know I don't talk politics. At least not in church. And I'm going to tell you my stance on politics right now. Hopefully I don't offend anybody, but this is my stance on politics. Doesn't matter who's in office because God's still on his throne. That's my stance on politics. Do I agree with politicians? No. Most of them I don't trust far enough, as far as I could throw them. And I learned real quick yesterday, I am a lot more out of shape than I thought I was, because I was a huffing and puffing, dragging that little deer out of the woods. But I don't trust them. I don't believe them. But you know who I do trust and who I do believe? My Savior. That's what Daniel was doing. He was praising his God, who is bigger and more powerful than any king could ever imagine. Then he gives, and he who reveals, Daniel praised God for his communication to man. All God's power and might were of little help to Daniel if God stayed silent. Daniel was grateful that God revealed his great knowledge. You know, I was talking to Nancy a while back. When you're studying biblical history, there is a period between Malachi and Matthew. Now, there were a lot of other books written, but they were not seen as being... Yeah, they weren't included in the canonizations that were created for the Bible. Some of them have even been rejected have been included in the Apocrypha. Some of them have been rejected by the Jewish people as not being words of God because they were heretical, meaning that they taught heresy. But between Malachi and Matthew, a lot of people say that God was gone. No, God didn't go anywhere. God was just silent. And when God spoke again, he spoke loud and clear. Because when God finally spoke again, what was it that he said? Before that, but yeah, if you didn't get that, she cried like a little baby, because that's when God spoke, was to announce the birth of his son, of the Messiah. What a way to break your silence. You know, we see advertisement all the time. you know, exciting news coming, and so many, and then you have the countdown, exciting news, don't miss this announcement, da 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 da, and they're building up and building up and building. God didn't do that. God was quiet. He was silenced for hundreds of years. And then all of a sudden, he made a, oh, he told a virgin through Gabriel. He told Joseph. And then on that night, he announced it to a bunch of shepherds with an angel multitude. You guys know that's what it, right? There's the multitude of heavenly hosts, yeah. Just, can you imagine what a way to make an announcement? And then, listen, I would have loved to sing that. But I am looking forward to that trumpet and the shout of the archangel. I'm looking forward to that. Okay, you have given, you have made known to me. Daniel had the certainty of faith to believe that God gave him the answer, even before confirming before Nebuchadnezzar. He had so much faith in God that God had given them what they had asked for, that he had given his answer. Before he even went and said, okay, this is what you dream, king. And sort of saying, what's he going to do? Am I telling him wrong? Daniel knew. You ever had one of those experiences that you prayed for something and you knew that God had answered that prayer? And you knew, you know, I've told you guys many times that there's been times that I have been praying for something and it's like I hear his voice. I was praying when we were still in Raleigh. I prayed, and I was mad about a job situation. I was mad, and I had been praying for months that God would make it clear to me what I needed to do regarding this job. If I needed to leave or if I needed to stay, just tell me. Make it so clear to me. And then something happened and I went out and sat in my tree stand and I was mad. And I'm just like, God, how could you let this happen? Why would you do this? And then it was just all of a sudden, it was just like, you asked me to make it so clear to you. How much clearer could I make it? Well, I stopped being mad because I knew God had done it. Please don't have me locked up for telling you I'm hearing voices, but I heard God talk to me. Look at this last point right here. It says our level of faith is often indicated by how long it takes us to start praising God. If we won't praise Him until the answer is in hand, then we don't have much faith. Greater faith is able to praise God when that promise is given and received. Daniel didn't wait until he went and talked to Nebuchadnezzar to praise God. He praised God the moment it happened. We need to start praying that way. We need to start having that faith and praising God for answered prayers, even if it's not the answer we want. We need to praise God. Any questions or comments about these few verses that we covered tonight? Now remember, next week we do not have Bible study. We don't have any services on Wednesday night because it's Thanksgiving on Thursday. We do have our Thanksgiving service this Sunday night at 6:30 at Calvary Baptist Church, where we'll be for that. I am preaching, so please don't hold that against us and come on out anyway. But Calvary will be running the service, and I will be preaching. Any questions or comments? Well, thank you guys for being here and listening to that. We will go into our prayer time now, so let me pray as we end our Bible study. Our blessed Heavenly Father, thank you so much for what we see written in the book of Daniel. Lord, just thank you for the example of faith that we see and how we are to deal with crisis, how we are to deal with difficulties in our life and taking them to you. Lord, for the example of pulling together believing friends that will pray on our behalf and pray with us and for us. And dear Lord, the faith to praise you without even checking with others before, but praising you because you deserve to be praised. Lord, thank you for what we and be with us as we go from this place tonight. And it's in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.